Eric Meehan joining us in studio. We have to ask the trivia question.
Well, first of all, you couldn't find the song from The Sword, I guess.
Oh, that's right. Maybe Carrie didn't get my second email.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. That The Clash works for me, man.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Did you know the guy who wrote that song?
Not Joe Strummer, right?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, this was
who
big,
is that? That's right. Remind me.
Sonny Curtis.
Who
probably is best known for writing the theme for the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
There you go.
Yeah.
I adore stuff like that. There was a whole generation, a whole class, and I'm sure you've talked about this ad nauseum with our next guest, because that's the sort of thing he would cover. But of these great songwriters who were unsung.
Mm.
I think the most famous of the unfamous is like J.J. Cale, only because Eric Clapton made it such a position of his to introduce him to other people. But yeah, I mean, there's these people like that, and the famous bands made them famous, made the songs famous. Very cool. Speaking of which, we're never going to do another song ever again except Al Green. Every time is there a more perfect song than that? I don't think there is, in my opinion.
No.
I mean, it catches you on so many, instantly, you have to, it's like one of those movies people talk about, like you're flipping through the channels, and you hit it, and you got to leave it on. That's one for me.
Well, that and Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On.
That's true, but Al Green's voice to me is, and how he starts that song, I mean, it's just, it's vocal perfection. As someone who, like, you know, studied voice and, you know, likes to think that I know what it takes to, like, hit that note, he hits that, it's just like, oh, it's like butter.
Obama did a pretty good job with that. Remember that?
That's right. He did it like Will Smith did Robin Williams. No one does Al Green like Al Green. Oh, my goodness. Also, speaking of, we're never going to talk about wine today because there's so many things to talk about beyond Al Green. Zdeno Chara, which you guys have been talking about. Okay, so I was this fresh-faced young man playing hockey at the time, and I'll never forget the picture. I forget the publication. I think it was Hockey News. It might have been Sports Illustrated, but I'm pretty sure it was Hockey News. Zdeno Chara and Brian Berard, both relegated to Long Island as baby-faced newbies themselves. And of course, Brian Berard, if anybody listening doesn't know Brian Berard, check out a career that was almost ended by this eye injury. Crazy. And the guy comes back and is still a stud. Unbelievable. But he was this little ginger boy who I don't think had shaved a day in his life when he was pictured next to Zdeno. And you read about this guy and they're like, this guy is probably going to go the way of, actually, as we were just talking about in part-time, the Greg Odens of the world in basketball, whatever, you know, big, lanky. He's probably going to be good for a couple of years, and then he's going to flail out because of knee problems or something like that. What a stud, and truly what a loss, and I hope I know he's going to come back. That man, you're going to have to fight him off, and he's 6'9", so you're probably going to lose. He'll be back, and don't worry, Bees fans. I think we're in for a heck of a series. It's very exciting. I love good hockey. I mean, even if the Devils aren't in it, because the Devils are going to get the number one draft pick.
Right.
All right. We should talk about wine, because that's ultimately why I'm here.
Oh, sure.
So this begins our six-month journey of the world.
Yay.
Mm. So June is the month that I typically cover France and Germany. It's a lot of ground to cover, but I feel comfortable doing it because we've been covering France for a lot of the past couple, you know, especially the last month when we sort of talked about terroir and the uniqueness of that thing. Terroir, I'll just remind you, this concept that wine is not, you know, made in a vacuum, vines are not grown in a vacuum, agricultural products in a general are not made in a vacuum. The land around them, the rainfall, the grass that they eat, the turf that they grow on, it all matters in the final product. That's the concept of terroir. And as we talked about last month, it was originated in Burgundy, essentially. Obviously, a lot of other places noticed this, but it was the Cistercian monks in Burgundy that really kept these assiduous records and said, look, this piece of ground does this, this piece of ground does this, this grape in this piece of ground does this, and subsequently decided what the best places to grow grapes and why. And that idea has really now obviously spread all over the world. So I feel like we kind of covered Burgundy. And of course, we also covered Champagne a little bit and why that's important. So As we talk a little bit more about France, I want to cover the other important regions in France. And so this segment, I'm going to the reason we did a song about the law, the other song was, you know, it's tough finding songs appropriate about the law that aren't completely inappropriate for the radio. But the idea today, we're going to talk about the Rhone Valley, and we're also going to talk about the Languedoc, which is basically much of the southern coast and then, you know, sort of inland for several hundred kilometers in certain cases of the southern coast of France. They share a lot of commonalities, and the big difference is the law. It's like Judge, who is that, what's his name, the terrible comedian in Judge Dredd, the law, I am the law. So in the Rhone Valley, we have the law. In the Languedoc, we don't. But the grapes they share, Syrah, Grenache, Mourvèdre, Carignan, Sanceau, some of the white varietals, Viognier, Marsan, Roussan, these are commonalities. And very often, more or less, you can get really nice wines within a general idiom from both places. So why does the law matter? Well, let's talk a little bit about where they are and why they are. The Rhone Valley, divided into two distinct areas. Number one is the Northern Rhone Valley. And in the Northern Rhone Valley, the law says Syrah is the red grape and Viognier is the predominant white grape. And that is what you are going to use in the specific named appellations. Your Condria, your Saint-Joseph, your Coroti, your Hermitage, your Crow's Hermitage, things like this. They are defined by these grapes. Condria is a white appellation, by the way. All the rest I named were red appellations. And it's not to say that there aren't other grapes grown there, but they simply can't be called anything within that appellation's correct laws because they don't technically, quote, belong. And the Southern Rhone Valley, much more diverse in terms of grape choices, but not necessarily diverse in terms of adherence to the law. So the Southern Rhone Valley, home to appellations, the very famous one, Chateau Neuf de Pape, which has both white and red, but red obviously about 90% of the production. Vacaras, Gigondas, things like this, Vinsaube. These are the famous appellations there, but the grapes we're talking about, again, Grenache being a big one, Carignan, Syrah, Mourvèdre, very, very common grape names that you know, not from there, but from everywhere in the southern French area. You're allowed to use, in Chateau Neuf de Pape, which is sort of the gold standard in the area, 22 different grape varieties. So it seems pretty cool, although it's pretty much 13 grape varieties with some of the white mutants, if you will, of the reds. But it's really cool because there are some wineries in the area, Beaucastel, for instance, very famously, that use all 22 in various assortments. And so they're there. Whereas others simply make, you know, 100% Grenache to get high scores with Robert Parker, and God bless them for that, whatever. And then you move to the Languedoc, you have the same grapes, but essentially there's no laws there except that it has to be from the Languedoc. So you also see all these other grape varietals. You see Cabernet Sauvignon, you see Chardonnay, you see Pinot Noir. You see all sorts of things because, frankly, it's really, really good growing conditions there. I mean, you're talking about the Mediterranean, all of the famous wine regions in the world, essentially. Originally, the old world are clustered around that sea. I mean, it's a really, really ideal place to do business if you're in the wine business. And a lot of the famous labels that you know, even in America, things like Fat Bastard are from there. It's what we call a vin de pays d'oc. It's a wine the country from the Languedoc, and they can pretty much grow whatever they want there. And you see, in fact, a lot of very famous Rhone producers where there are rules about not only the grapes but aging in certain areas, buying property in the Languedoc to take advantage of it. Most famously, Chapoutier, which is a huge négociant, owns half of the Northern Rhone. Honestly, he has a wonderful, wonderful little operation going in the Languedoc, which is fun, and the bottles sell for like $14-15 as opposed to a lot more. So the wine we're drinking tonight is kind of interesting, and it kind of straddles the two, and then I'll touch on a couple little things I want to touch on before we go. This is the Nostro Pais. This is from a wonderful couple, and it's from the area of Côtière de Nîmes. And Côtière de Nîmes is particularly notable in this discussion because in the early 2000s, they were in the Languedoc, officially, legally, you know. And they petitioned and said, you know what, we'd like to be part of the Rhône. And they're attached to both, you know, they abut the Rhône, the southern Rhône Valley. So they have all these things. And indeed, the grapes in this are Grenache, Syrah, Carignan, Mourvèdre, and Sanceau. Sound familiar? Of course it does. They petitioned the French government and their local governments to say, we'd like to be part of this. We'd like to be, frankly, more restricted, because they viewed that as a little bit more noble, a little bit more adherent to their stuff. They didn't think that Cabernet Sauvignon or Pinot Noir showed itself particularly great there, and they're right. So they said, we want to restrict ourselves to the grapes that have been shown to grow really well here. Everybody agreed eventually, and so now they are part of the Rhône Département, and I think that's just kind of particularly fascinating that they really wanted to restrict themselves in order to create what we think is a better product. I only have a couple more minutes left, and I did want to mention there's two really cool things that three really cool things, lots of really cool
Many
things.
Cool
My
things.
God, I can't even keep track. First of all, we're carrying Pineland Cheese now, which is a sponsor of this program, and the reason we are is because I was driving here. Rich mentioned it. I said, why do we not carry these cheeses? We are also carrying their fresh cheese curd, so if you really like the squeaky curd, we got it. It's wonderful for poutine. We also have their smoked cheddar, their regular cheddar, and their sharp cheddar. And by the way, their regular cheddar like beat out like the Cabot cloth wrapped like in a national competition. It's really good stuff. Number two, Novio's. We all remember Bob Cutler from his segments here. Novio's Bistro right up the hill. Their greenhouse is doing so well that they are overproducing some of the most unbelievable greens I've ever had. We are now selling them. $8 for a 10-ounce bag. I'm telling you, people, this will change your life. It will change your diet. I have not stopped eating them. They are wonderful. They are fresh. They are full of flavor. And we're going to be carrying them as close to year-round as we can, depending on what's feasible for Bob. But at least he said through Thanksgiving. Also, probably starting next week, cucumbers, tomatoes to follow. Right on, I'm telling you. Our tasting this month, we just added Terry Hall, who is the owner of Pure and Simple Apothecary in downtown Bangor. Her concoctions have changed our family's lives, my manager's life. She is awesome. She will be sampling her wares there. Also, we are going to be part of the Maine Cheese Festival in September. More to come on that. Lots going on at Bangor Wine and Cheese. We hope to see you in the store, and I will talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Cheers.
Eric Mahon, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle Tuesdays. Of course, every segment available on our website by clicking on the Message in the Bottle tab. There's your song. There's your music.
So good. The Sword. Anybody who likes, like, kind of old school, jammy, weird, Black Sabbath-y, The Sword. Look them up.
There you go.